Hello, my name is Melissa Burr, and I'm the winemaker at Stoller Family Estates in the Dundee Hills of the Willamette Valley. And I would encourage you, if you haven't heard about us, to check us out online at the Stoller Family Estate. We specialize in Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, and we have just received news that Stoller Family Estate has been selected as one of the top 100 wineries of the year with Wine and Spirits magazine. So we are celebrating, and I encourage you to check us out and hopefully celebrate with us. Thanks.
You're listening to iWine Radio. Welcome to Wine and Dine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo-Chamberlain.
Hi there. This is Andreas Larson.
Hi, this is John Capon.
My name is Mathur Jaffrey.
Hi, my name is Heike Platter. I'm from the Alto Adige region, or Südtirol.
Hi, my name is Paul Dolan. I am absolutely passionate about growing organic and biodynamic fruit for our wines.
Hello, my name is Lorena Garcia.
Hello, my name is Fritz Maytag.
This is Joyce Bach. I'm the author of Foodie Fight.
Hi, this is Lydia Mandavi, founder of 29 Cosmetics.
Cheers, this is Rob Barnett, CEO and founder of FinVillage.com, where wine lovers connect.
Today we're going to have a conversation with Melissa Burr, who is the winemaker for a decade, really, with Stoller Family Estate in Oregon. And she oversees the continued refinement and steward of Stoller's legacy of growing exceptional Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. Stoller Family Estate features North America's very first LEED Gold certified winery. There are three guest homes at the winery, a new state-of-the-art tasting room with panoramic views. And if you go on to StollerFamilyEstate.com website, you'll be able to see all those views. Melissa, thank you so very much for joining us today on Wine and Dine. You were raised in the Willamette Valley, and so this must be a dream come true to be working where you grew up. Do you still have family in the area?
Yes, yes, on all accounts. I did grow up here just south of the winery in Salem, and I have family here still. And it is absolutely a dream come true to be working here and locally in such a magnificent capacity here at Stoller.
Can I ask you, I understand that in college you studied winemaking and fermentation science. But what was it, out of curiosity, when you were like in high school or junior high, that you were thinking that you wanted to do as a career?
Oh gosh, it changed so much over the years. I can't hardly remember, but anything from going into healthcare, into nursing, to teaching, and then got into restaurants and hospitality. Wanted to go into kind of the food industry, and then went to work at a ski resort and got into that, and then migrated back to medicine. So in the late 90s, I got my bachelor's of science at Portland State University with a pre-med focus, and my plan was to go to graduate school at a Portland college for naturopathic medicine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was really geared up for that. And after getting accepted to that graduate program, I had a change of plans that summer in the interim and decided to get into winemaking.
Which is not really that crazy of a stretch. I mean, if you were thinking of naturopathy, and here you are in winemaking with so much attention to Mother Nature and, you know, avoiding chemicals and this sort of thing, there is a lot of parallelism there.
Yes. Yeah, there certainly seems to be. So it ended up being a good change of course that has led me here to Stoller.
When you were growing up, did your parents have wine on the dinner table during the week, or was it just like for special occasions, or not at all?
It was sporadic. My mom over the course of time, developed a taste for wine, red wines at dinner, mostly when I was just at the end of the high school period. But it wasn't something that I grew up with as a small child, like my children are growing up with. So it was kind of an evolution over time that led, you know, the wine into the family. And one of the catalysts for changing paths from naturopathic medicine to winemaking was that my family, my in-laws, my husband's mother, bought a piece of property in the Columbia Gorge in White Salmon, Washington.
Wow.
And the property has a vineyard on it, a historic vineyard per se. The vines are over 40 years old, and the original owner was really considered a pioneer of that area for wine grapes. And so with that purchase of the property, with the 12 acres of wine grapes and a growing interest on my part with wine and my family's, it sort of all
came together.
Yeah, it really did. So,
Now, you have a lot of accolades under your belt with respect to the national press and saying you do a really, really, really good job with your wines. And are you allowed to make an announcement about an upcoming, or is it premature at this point?
Oh, I think it's perfectly acceptable. And yes, we're very excited that Stoller has been selected as one of the 100 best wineries of the year for Wine and Spirits magazine. And we're really, really honored and excited and proud of that for sure. So, yeah, thank you very much.
Most definitely. What does it mean to be working with specifically Pinot Noir and Chardonnay to you?
Well, to me, it's what I know. And for this growing region, the Willamette Valley, we're the northern part of the Willamette Valley in Oregon here, these varietals are perfectly suited for our cooler growing conditions. And I feel that it's allowed me to really understand the grape, and there's a lot of talk about Pinot Noir in light of it being a finicky grape. It's very expressive of vintage and place, more so than a lot of grapes, in my opinion, making it exciting and challenging to work with. So having my full experience making wine, working with that grape, like I said, it's what I know, but I also really enjoy and respect that part of making Pinot Noir and Chardonnay as well. I think that Chardonnay is going through a pretty exciting upcoming here in Oregon. There's been a lot of people starting to catch on to the fact that Chardonnay, grown in our cool growing conditions here in the Willamette Valley in particular, makes a very special and unique wine. I think that we'll see, hopefully in the future, a lot of recognition for Oregon Chardonnay side by side with Oregon Pinot Noir.
And you basically make two different Chardonnays. You take the Burgundy approach, and you take the, you know, stainless steel approach, and you give people a lot of choices in your estate wines.
That's correct. Yes, there's two different styles of Chardonnay that we produce. The first is we barrel ferment the Chardonnay from the estate and take, I guess, like you said, the more of the Burgundian approach. And the vision for this wine and the goal is to make a wine that has a nice textural component coming from the fact that it's been fermented in oak and it has contact with lees. So we do lee stirring and use oak barrels as a undercurrent for spice. So that has been something that over the past few vintages has really become a strong focus and honing in on that proportion of oak. So I definitely don't want the oak flavors overpowering the Chardonnay grape flavors.
I think the price of $28 is an incredibly good price for a wine that is barrel fermented.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I agree. I think that it does offer a value, and I feel that the quality is extremely high, and the site is a very special site for growing Chardonnay in general. So, yeah, I agree. I think it's a good price for that wine.
If I can get in a plug for I Love Dry Rosé, are you all sold out of that, or can people still purchase that?
For our rosé has sold out actually very quickly this season.
Okay.
I think that rosé is making a huge popularity upheaval here locally. So I've experienced that from a lot of wineries, but their rosé is flying. So we did sell out, and we're planning to make more this season. So we're just starting to calculate what sections we're going to use for that and do a lot of Sanier or bleeding off the juice from a lot of our Pinot Noir tanks to make that 2012 rosé.
And as you said, you haven't started picking the grapes yet, but by the end of this last week in September, you're thinking you'll be beginning the harvest.
That's correct. Yeah, next week I hope we start bringing in some fruit, and it looks like so long as the weather stays dry and things keep moving along, we will start with some Chardonnay, some younger vine Chardonnay, and also some younger vine Pinot Noir.
I should say the range goes all the way from the younger vine Pinot Noir up to Cathy's Pommard Clone Pinot Noir, Nancy's Pommard Clone Pinot Noir, Helen's Waldenville Clone Pinot Noir, and also a reserve Pinot Noir that is a blend of the three, correct?
Yes. Yeah, we have basically the pyramid of blends, if you will. It's the biggest blend that we make, which constitutes approximately 5 to 6,000 cases annually, is our Dundee Hills Estate blend. And that wine is a collection of different plantings on the vineyard, and it does tend to be more of our younger plantings.
Okay.
And then we have the reserve, a lot of our older plantings, and our legacy tier, which constitutes the women's names, the Helens, Nancys, and Cathys, is our top end, really section designated blends, small blends.
And on a final note, Melissa Burr, can people join the Stoller Family Estate Wine Club and have shipments and reserve there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I definitely encourage that. We have a lot to offer.
Because I would think there's small production on some of those. And I thank you so very much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com.